Good morning, everyone. I'm John Hockenberry. After watching President Obama speaking last night on ABC News talking about health care to a town meeting assembled by the network, it's fairly clear that the Obama approach to health care reform is very different than the Clinton administration's approach back in the 90s. The president last night was very upfront about costs.
We will have some upfront costs. And the estimates, as Charlie has said, have been anywhere from $1 trillion to $2 trillion. But what we've said is, what my administration has said, what I've said, is that whatever it is that we do, we pay for.
And what the president is looking for is the political will to spend $2 trillion, as much as $2 trillion, on health care reform.
What's lacking is not knowledge. We've been debating this stuff for decades. What's lacking is political will. Genuine change generally does not come from Washington. Whether we like it or not, it comes from the American people saying it's time for us to move forward. And I think this is that moment.
So instead of putting together a think tank of policy experts, as the Clinton administration did back in the 90s, Obama seems to be leading with that political will, leading with the American people. Congress is handling the policy details, and Obama is kind of coaching from the sidelines, saying that there's going to be change, folks, but it isn't going to be too radical.
For us to completely change our system, root and branch, would be hugely disruptive. And I think would end up resulting in people having to completely change their doctors, their health care providers, in a way that I'm not prepared to go.
Well, where are the American people prepared to go on health care reform? We're going to talk with some folks that we've been speaking with over the last few weeks as we look at the health care reform debate from a number of angles. Dr. Peter Ubel, physician and behavioral scientist, joins us from Ann Arbor, Michigan. His latest book is Free Market Madness, Why Human Nature is at Odds with Economics and Why It Matters. Peter, thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Thanks.
Dr. Moitri Savard is a family physician with a private practice in Queens, New York. She joins us from Long Island City. Dr. Savard, thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Good morning.
And Noreen Thompson runs a 13-room hotel with her husband in Eastham, Massachusetts. She has all kinds of issues with health care. We haven't spoken to you before, so welcome to the program, Noreen.
Thank you.
So, Dr. Ubel, do you think this approach, from the perspective of a behavioral scientist, of letting the American people lead the debate and the policy issues be worked out in Congress rather than by assembling a team of experts, as the Clinton administration did, do you think this this approach is more likely to succeed?
I think it is more likely to succeed, and I think Obama has the right diagnosis. He knows the costs are out of control, that what we pay for in medicine is very strange system of paying people to do too much to their patients. And so he's got the right diagnosis. The treatment, I think we have a lot of details we need to learn about what treatment they're going to have to the system.
And Dr. Savard, did you hear anything last night that made you particularly excited about either adopting the kinds of practices that you spoke with us on the program about a few weeks ago, or things that would make your job easier?
Sure. I like that he talked about a health insurance exchange. I think one of the problems my patients have is finding health insurance that they can afford. So if they're given a menu of all their different options, I think that would be very helpful.
And Noreen Thompson, what are your sort of headaches regarding health care, maintaining a health care plan for yourself? And I'm presuming that there is conceivably an issue with your employees.
Well, employees, no, because we only employ employees in the summertime, so it's not a big issue there because we actually stay away from hiring employees that are going to need health insurance, and for that reason, we can't afford the insurance for our family, let alone for employees as well. A lot of the biggest problem with us is cost and the fact that we're changing insurances just about every year, every other year. I have more insurance cards than Carter has liver pills. I really do. So,
did you hear anything last night that made you feel as though perhaps change is coming and you're not going to be bouncing around like this indefinitely?
No, not necessarily. I did and I didn't. I mean, I think maybe the approach might be better for getting something done, but I don't necessarily think it's the approach that we really need at this point. I think I am firmly committed to single-payer health care. I think that's the way to go. And I think that having supplemental plans to go along with single-payer health plans would be fine, and that would probably be a better way to go than to try it this way. But We'll see.
Dr. Eubel, is a health care reform plan going to have specific caps that consumers are going to be able to be aware of, or is it going to vary from treatment to treatment, drug to drug, and constantly be a moving target as auditors take a look at what's working and what doesn't work?
I think you can count on this to be hard to know what you're going to get. I think it's the biggest challenge Obama faces is how to control health care costs. And that is going to be a political challenge because everyone who's making money in the healthcare system are going to fight any plan that would reduce how much money they make. And it's also going to be a big challenge to consumers, to Americans, because we're not going to know what barriers they're going to put for patients to get what they want out of the healthcare system.
Dr. Savard, we spoke yesterday with someone who was giving us some insights into the German plan, the way Germany operates. And they have private insurers in Germany, but they have a very strict set of regulations as to how to behave and what sorts of costs are permissible within the system. If there was a rigorous set of new federal mandates on how to practice and what to pay for various kinds of procedures, would that be onerous for you?
It depends how it was administered, but I could see it being difficult. I mean, I do agree that the biggest problem is going to be cost control. When asked about his family last night, President Obama said, yes, of course, he would want everything done. But he was hoping that there would be some, you know, evidence behind that. But the problem is when it comes to your family members, no amount of evidence really makes a difference sometimes. I mean, he talked about I think he didn't actually refer to it, but Atul Gawande had an article in The New Yorker where he talked about the healthcare system in McAllen, Texas. Now, as part of that article, he admitted that he had a son who had had a bad fall, and he insisted that his child have an extra ICU stay, even though it wouldn't have necessarily improved his outcome, he found out later. But the problem is when it's your child and there's a 1%, 2% chance, even though the evidence isn't necessarily there, sometimes that's what you want done. And that's, I think, going to be a huge problem. So I don't quite know with a system like Germany how something like that is going to be administered and who's going to make the final decision of, no, it can't be done.
Well, Dr. Eubel, the Atul Gawande article that we've actually focused on this program before focuses on the Southern Minnesota system at the Mayo Clinic. And they're very disciplined at the Mayo Clinic. If you ask for something and they say it's not appropriate, you just don't get it, period, the end. Can the federal government adopt that kind of discipline on a national scale and basically do what Mayo does?
No.
Really?
It's very hard to replicate the Mayo Clinic. I trained there. It's a wonderful place. It's a place where if they think you need something, they will get it for you, often cheaper than other places. So it's not just that they do less. They also charge less. They have their doctors at Mayo are on salary. Most doctors in the United States aren't salaried, and they would resist being put on a salary, even if that was the best thing for the country.
Noreen, in Easton, Massachusetts, do you have good health care providers there, even though it's expensive and confusing for you to maintain insurance?
It's a big problem here. We're losing doctors, and it's really hard to stay with one family physician. We had one for a few years, and then they ended up putting her on walk-ins. And I've bounced around for a number of times since then. I've got one that I've had for like over a year, and I'm crossing my fingers, but it's a problem.
So even if you wanted to maintain a primary care physician, engage in all kinds of preventive health care, pay up front for preventive procedures that are going to pay off down the line, you can't even do it because there's nobody there to provide you with that service.
There aren't enough. There aren't enough family physicians. There aren't enough, you know. It is a big problem. I think there's plenty of specialists, and I think that was one of the things that was raised last night, was being a specialist is more lucrative and helps to pay for medical students
right.
to pay off their bills much easier. But, yeah, we've got a big problem with family physicians.
All right. Well, we're going to come back to you, Noreen. Dr. Moitri Savard, we're going to give you the last word here. Any sign from the town meeting last night that a proliferation of primary care physicians such as yourself are going to hit the beach anytime soon? We just have a few seconds.
Yes, I mean, he did mention it as his, I believe it was number three on his plan, is the promotion of primary care. And he did speak to that medical student, had $300,000 in debt, who really wants to go into primary care.
Well, that's positive. Dr. Moitri Savard, family physician with a private practice in Queens. Let's hope there are more doctors like you. And Dr. Peter Eubel, physician and behavioral scientist, and also Noreen Thompson. Thanks so much to all of you folks. And nominate a governor, won't you?
My name is Ciro, and I have two nominations. First is dead Governor Bill Clinton, whose nickname used to be Slick Willie, among other things. And actually, I'd also like to nominate state police in those states who are supposed to be guarding these governors and who look the other way when they're doing all of these extracurricular, extramarital things.
Thanks for that suggestion. But widen your horizons. There are a lot of governors with a lot of very interesting character traits. Nominate one for our Hall of Fame on The Takeaway, 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org.